Again, it's a genuine pleasure to be with you,
be able to look out across
the audience and see those who have the intention and the desire to come together and worship our Lord and focus our thoughts for a little while on His death and the reminder of it and the significance of it for us. And that's what we do every first day of the week, and it's so very important. It defines our life. We do appreciate your presence here and appreciate your efforts this morning. Those who've led prayers, those who led our singing, appreciate their efforts. And it does make us focus our thoughts on why we're here. Takes our mind off of the problems and strifes of the day for a little while and blesses us. Jeremiah, the sixth chapter, is a very important chapter. A very important chapter in his life. And I guess for our whole life. I want to read a passage today, just one that you're very familiar with, and use that sort of as the basis of our lesson this morning. It would be verse number 16. Jeremiah, the sixth chapter, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Jeremiah lived in a time of great wickedness. And it wasn't just because of the world, which probably could be said without doubt. But in the history of Israel itself, it was a time of great wickedness, spiritual wickedness. Israel had turned from God, and you see the attitude here of the general attitude of the people of Israel. And God was ready to give them up into captivity. And he would later on in a few years. But here he pleads with them again through his prophet. And when you read about prophet Jeremiah, one of the most significant figures in the Bible, along with many others like Moses and Isaiah and so many others that were leading up to the coming of our Lord, his life was such a monumental influence in the history of Israel, even to this day, for many of the Jewish people, the way they think about him. If you're there in the sixth chapter, go back to me the very first verse, Jeremiah 1 and verse 1. Jeremiah 1 and verse 1 says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, verse 2, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amnon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. In the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, God began to speak to Jeremiah and then speak to the people through Jeremiah. But if you go further back in the Bible, we won't go over there and read it, back over in 2 Kings, you'll see that Josiah ruled for 31 years. And so 31 minus 13 would be 18. So in reality, Jeremiah prophesied about 18 years before the invasion and the destruction of Jerusalem, because Josiah died right before the invasion, and he had some sons that took over, Jehoiakim, and I say Jehoiaz, and then Zedekiah, and some others, and it went downhill quick. But imagine for about 18 years, Jeremiah would be pleading with them that things are going to get much, much worse, and they wouldn't listen to him. And then they got real worse. The Babylonians invaded. And then amazingly, they had several kings and what have you. 20 years later, after the initial invasion, 20 years after that, 586, the Babylonians came back to completely destroy Jerusalem. And they did. And many of the people that were left in Jerusalem at the time, they knew what was coming. So they fled for Egypt. And for some reason, they took Jeremiah with them. Jeremiah wasn't the most popular person in society at that time, but they took Jeremiah the prophet with them to Egypt. And he was all the way down there and said, this is not right, you can't do this. And We'll end our lesson this morning with him being in Egypt. But when you read the sixth chapter here, this is kind of the beginning. I don't know if this was right at the beginning of his prophetic career or sometime in the beginning. But he is saying, this is what the Lord says. He says, I want you to stand in the way. Imagine that you're in that day and time walking a path, you're traveling somewhere, and you come to a crossroads or to a fork in the road, and you've got to decide which way to go. And he said, that's just a wonderful metaphor for the way you live your life. You're going to have to make many decisions in your life of how you're going to live. And Jeremiah is saying, I want you to choose and demand of yourself the old paths. In, on purpose, intentionally choose the way Abraham lived, the way Moses lived, the way David lived. Choose to follow their life, your great ancestors. But it had come to the point, as you read here in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, but they said, we will not walk in it. So for many years, Jeremiah would be saying the same thing, and they would be saying the same thing. And it would be sad. It had to be a sad life. But a determined life on the part of, Jeremiah. And while these words we might think are history 600 years before Christ, 2,600 years ago, they still form very important lessons for us today. And that's what the Bible teaches, doesn't it? Things are written aforetime were written for what reason? For our learning. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Let me suggest some thoughts that come to my mind about asking for the old paths. And as we read just this one passage, Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, this is the first thought that comes to my mind. Obviously, asking for the old paths is a necessity. It's not a multiple choice question. We're talking about our life and how we're going to live our life and how we're going to serve the Lord. Now, if you wanted to be a sculptor or a carpenter or a sheep herder or something like that, that probably wouldn't matter to God. You probably have to choose that on your own. But you know he's talking about how we live the purpose of our life. And so as a result, we read, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old path, where the good way is, and walk in it. This is something we have to do. Because the book just kind of degenerates the rest of the way. There is a right way. There's a wrong way to live our life. There is a way that God ordains and God will bless us in if we will honor Him. And it's been that way throughout history. I mean, throughout history, even for the time of Jeremiah. Let me just read some passages to you that you probably know, but you don't have to turn there and read them. Just let me read them to you. Like, for example, Genesis 5 and verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Enoch winds up in the list of men of faith in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. In Genesis 17 and verse 1, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Well, that's what Abraham did. It didn't mean he didn't ever make a mistake, but he dedicated his life to walking before the Lord. Joshua, in the times of Joshua, Joshua 22, and verse 5. But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of God, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your mind. All of them would say exactly what Jeremiah is saying here. 1 Kings 3 and verse 14, God is speaking to Solomon. And he says to Solomon, so if you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Isaiah, second chapter. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. That's history for Jeremiah. Isaiah was 150 years before Jeremiah. I mean, and that's just this quick view. All the way from Enoch and Abraham and Joshua and Solomon and Isaiah. All of them were told this idea to intentionally choose the way of the Lord. And when we read this passage here, it says, stand in the way and see and ask for the old path. He's saying, obey God. Matter of fact, if you're there with me in Jeremiah 6, turn over to the next chapter. Again, we can't read all of it, but God's just pretty much fed up with him. You've got to pick up some of the sarcasm that he says here in the 7th chapter of Jeremiah. But he made just a bold point that he makes. Let's see, verse 21. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat me. And again, you had to go back and read the whole context. He's just saying, you might as well go ahead and eat the very thing you sacrifice. Now, there were different people who were to eat of the sacrifices, but he's just telling the people, here, you might as well go ahead and eat it yourself. Verse 22, for I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. Not the way they were doing it. Here's my point, verse 23. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Verse 24. Yet ye did not obey or incline your ear. When God is talking about walking in all of the ways that I have commanded you, he's talking about, back here in the 6th chapter, in verse 16, obey me. I am the God of Enoch. I am the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Solomon. I'm the God of David. I'm the God of Isaiah. Obey me. And I recognize, as we read this, the instructions in Jeremiah 6:16 were really nothing new for Israel. Now, there may be people in America today who said they've never read anything like this, or Europe or something like that. But not for the people in Jeremiah's day. God is demanding of his people, don't be led astray. There's still time. You can turn this around and I will bless you. Look back at Abraham. Look back at Moses and the obedience that they demonstrated for you. God commands that we don't just do what we want and go in any particular way. He says, I want you to follow me. And that's the important lesson for us today. I mean, the problem that Israel was facing right here and had been facing for 900 years is the problem everybody has to face today. And that's kind of why I was thinking that there's such a close connection between Jeremiah 6 and us today. I mean, there's so many road signs and so many thoughts and ideas being put forth, and people seem to be getting confused and they're going in every direction instead of asking, well, what did God's word say? And you've got to have a roadmap. I was reading one time, one of the greatest problems that the Allied forces had when we invaded after Normandy, after we got into Europe, one of the greatest problems we had was that the German army was just insistent on changing signs. And the German army had intentionally made signs, and they would change the names of towns and the distance to towns and the directions and the arrows, and it would just mess everybody up unless you had a map that came from London. And that was the only thing that saved me in the operation. And one of the things that made the Battle of the Bulge, the Battle of the Bulge so bad, was that many of our commanders didn't have maps. And it was bad. And there are just so many road signs in the Word of God that help us in the direction that we should go. And there's so many things in our modern society that's pointing in so many different directions. And I mean, you could just name them off. Just name a few. The holiness of God. God is a holy God. Let us keep silence before Him. 1 Peter 1, verse 16. Be ye holy for what reason? For I'm holy. And yet there's a lot of people who don't seem to have the attitude that we are approaching a holy God. Jesus was God in the flesh and He was the way. And many people don't see it that way, but the Bible's clear about that. Salvation through obedience to the gospel or obedience to Christ is the way that we can come to the Lord. Trusting in the Scriptures. Just the idea of understanding that this is something that's come from God. All Scriptures given by the inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And yet, the tremendous attitude of so many people today, well, it might have been changed, but what did Jesus say in Matthew 24? Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word, as David said in Psalms, is written in heaven. It will not pass away. The reality of heaven and hell. So many people are changing the road sign, so to speak. Jesus said, I'm going to a place. In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you to myself. Or hell. Matthew 10:28. Fear not them who can kill the body. He said, but fear Him who can cast both body and soul into hell. That's just what the Bible, that's what Jesus was teaching, the very value of the human soul. Hebrews 2 and verse 9, He tasted death for every person. That every person is an eternally valuable being and soul. And yet so many people today have a completely different idea about it. Love of the church. Hebrews 10, verse 25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some. And He doesn't mean missing Sunday services one Sunday, although that's included. What He meant there by do not forsake, He said, we had people just quit. We forsook the church. We turned around and walked off and never go back. He said, don't do that, but assemble yourselves. And encourage the people. Or the return of Jesus. That He return from heaven in flaming fire seeking. That He will take vengeance on them who know not God. Powerful. Regardless of what the signs are that the world is changing, the Word of God is still written in heaven. The Word of God is still here. The Word of God is settled before us. God's necessity, God's requirement has not changed. That the olds and the news that we look at are going to be the very same thing. Like Hebrews 11:6. That without faith it's impossible to be pleasing to God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. If we're going to approach God, we're going to have to believe and trust in Him. Let me suggest to you secondly. If it's the way of necessity, and this is what Jeremiah is saying here, stand in the way and see and ask for the old path where the good way is and walk in it, and then you shall find rest for your souls. Kind of reminds you of Matthew 11:28, doesn't it? Might be exactly what Jesus was thinking about. God's promise to those who walk in these pass and take their stand right here, they shall find rest to their soul. And there are just several ways that we are blessed by standing in the ways of God. One of the ways, obviously, is that we are promised by the Son of God himself to find our way. If we stand in this way and walk these paths, we will find our way to the proper destination. Well, that's what Jesus said. We just said in John 14. Look with me over there. John, the 14th chapter. Yeah, we had mentioned, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And then he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then next verse, verse 4. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. And we could read that whole chapter. But look down at verse 28 of John 14. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Jesus said, if you stand strong, he says, I will return one day and I will receive you to myself. What a powerful, powerful promise. And then secondly, not only will we be guarded and protected and into that destination that we desire, we will be guarded and protected along the way. And that's the point that he wants us to understand. We have a destination that we should come to. Like Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. John 14 guarantees we know how it is and how we will be guarded along the way. Look with me in the book of Jude. I like the way he describes it. Jude, verse 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved. You're protected. God has his eye on you. Not only the right destination, but the safest route we will have to get there. We will be protected and cared for and watched over. If you're there in Jude with me, look down at down toward the end, verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. When Jeremiah was trying to get them to see, we've got to be people who stand in a certain place. We walk a certain path. We have a certain faith and conviction. It's because he is offering to us the ability to arrive at the proper destination, which God would bless, and that along that way we would be guarded and cared for. And that, thirdly, look back with me, John 16. In John 16, we've read this many times, powerful verse, a recognition on the part of Jesus of what we would go through. John 16, verse 33. If we stand in the proper way, we will arrive at the right destination. We'll be guarded and cared for. And every need we have will be provided for us. Verse 33, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The things that are most important to us, that give us our cherished understandings, the things that we have that define our joy, our hope, forgiveness, fellowship, identity, purpose, standards, those things is what Jesus is saying. I'm giving these words to you. In this verse, he's talking about peace. But he's saying, I've overcome the world. And he says, I recognize in this world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So when we talk about It is the way of blessings. It's the place where we understand our destination, how we will be protected and cared for along the way, and all of the things that we need. And let me suggest to you, last of all, thirdly, that seems like it is always met with, back in Jeremiah, the 6th chapter again, seems like it's always met with a refusal. Jeremiah 6:16, thus says the Lord, and the word Lord is Jehovah, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it, then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Text says some of them had decided they weren't going to walk in the ways of the Lord any longer. Something had come up. Something had, deflected their eye, their eyesight. They were looking at something different, hearing something that was different. And just the rest of the chapter, rest of the 6th chapter here, is just God saying, these are the chastisements and you're walking a path of destruction. Well, just look at verse 17. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the trumpet, sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words nor my law, but rejected it. Whew. Just completely refused. And as you continue reading, that'd be a good study in itself. The latter part of this chapter is just a good study in the very high price of refusing God and the terrible price it is. We're living in a day and time, and all of us understand that many people could care less about the things of God and the way of God. They have refused to walk in the ways and the calling of the Lord. It's beginning to make inroads into the church, unfortunately. Either they think the way of the Lord is too narrow, or it doesn't make sense to them, or they deny that's what the Lord said and things have been changed, and they let the people of the Lord understand they're not interested in it. But we need to keep announcing the truth and bringing people back to the Word of God. Let us be the people that stand in the way, and let us not be ashamed of the words that have stood now for 3,000 years. Let us not begin to doubt those things that have stood that long. Let us keep our heads up. Everything the Lord has commanded will come about and be blessed. And we make that transposition over to the New Testament when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, I believe it was. He said, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And may you ever know the work of the Lord is never in vain. The old way of God is never popular. It never has been. Whether you're talking about Abraham or Moses or Jeremiah. And daily we are seeing a society which thinks they've got a better way. And it's going to end in tragedy. They're leaving God's word. They're leaving the hope of the gospel. They're leaving the songs of praise, the songs of faith that we glorify and honor God with. Let us be people who stand for the truth. God has not changed. Remember Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Go back with me to Jeremiah again, Jeremiah 6. And like I said, I don't know I don't even know if this is before, but pretty close to the invasion, which means he would have been prophesying for about 18 years. And so you fast forward another 20 years and go with me over to Jeremiah 44. Jeremiah 44. And he's been, this is way down the road now. And he's been taken to Egypt. Because the people then thought Egypt was a safe place. And again, we don't have time to read it all. But we see the amazing attitude of the people. See, Jeremiah 44, look at, we'll just start right in the middle. Look at verse 13. Jeremiah 44, verse 13. For I will punish those who dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem, by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. Verse 14. So that none of the remnant of Judah who have gone into the land of Egypt to dwell there shall escape or survive, lest they should return to the land of Judah, to which they desire to return and dwell. For none shall return except those who escape. Verse 15. Then all the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, with all the women who stood by, a great multitude, and all the people who dwell in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, verse 16, as for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. Verse 17, but we will certainly do whatever has gone out of our own mouth. Jewish rabbis, if you give them some of the history, Jewish history sites, tell you that Jeremiah kept on prophesying. He kept on reminding the people what they should be doing and where they should be doing it. And finally, the people became so exasperated with Jeremiah that his own people stoned him to death. And some reports are they didn't bury the body. And when you think about Jeremiah, how can you imagine for 40, at least 40 years, never being listened to? But he wasn't the only prophet that had come that way. Ezekiel was told the same thing. He said, I'm sending you to these people, and I want you to prophesy to them, and they will not listen. Had to be difficult. What a lesson for us, though, to stop and ask, what is the standard by which we live? It's got to be the Word of God. It's got to be the revealed will of God, or it's nothing. It's God's Word, or we can just about do what we want. And that sounds like modern times. But Jeremiah, if he were here today, you know exactly what he would say. He would say, ask for the old path. And that's what we need to do today. Ask for the Word of God. Let us see where the Lord and His apostles taught these things. Do not go beyond the Word of God as they would teach, but stand in the truth. And they gave warnings of that, like in John did. The apostle of love would say in 2 John 9, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of God, hath not God. Saying the same thing Jeremiah was saying. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ, you need to be. You need to come to the Lord in His appointed way. He invites us to come. He sent His apostles out into the world. He said, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the only answer we can give today if we want to stand in the way of the Lord. Else we're going to be sailing the seas without a chart, without a control. If you're here and you're a child of God and you've suffered these ideas maybe of wandering away from the Lord, you need to come back to the Lord. Just stand by, thus saith the Lord. If you have any need today, whether it's to obey the gospel, we would be glad to help. Or maybe to go to God's throne in prayer on your behalf. If you're subject to heaven's call, would you please come as we stand and sing?